do we mean by adultery? The seventh commandment is very simple. Sex outside of marriage is forbidden. It means to keep sexually pure. Jesus gave his concept of marriage in Matthew saying, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife." The two words you should catch here are leave and cleave. Say that with me, leave and cleave. It's easier to leave your mother after marriage in Jesus' generation. She didn't have a cell phone or a fax or an email or two cars in the garage to track you down and follow you on your honeymoon. Fact one, the only marriages God will ever recognize is between a man and a woman. Combination is Adam and Eve, not Adam and Bruce. Fact two, Jesus said, "For this cause," what cause? "For the cause of sexual union, for the cause of creating a family, for the cause of to be fruitful and multiply." Don't get married and raise cats and dogs, have children also. That's God's primary purpose in marriage. Radical feminists are attacking marriage and women and children as empty-headed people, meaningless and dysfunctional people. That's absolutely not so. There's nothing more holy. There's nothing more sacred. There's nothing more precious in the sight of God than a godly mother taking care of her children. God bless every mother committed to her children and to her husband. You are the hope of America. Solomon states that your worth is far above rubies, that you are priceless, precious and priceless. Abraham Lincoln said, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." May God bless every righteous mother caring for her husband and her children today in the United States of America. Fact three, they twain shall come and be one flesh. One flesh means sexual union. Sex is the seal of the covenant. In the Bible, the most binding element of the covenant required the shedding of blood. Go with me to the scene where God is bequeathing to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants, meaning the Jewish people forever, to the land of Israel. In Genesis 15, Abraham took a heifer, a ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon and split them in half. It was a bloody scene as the carcasses were split, and God walked between the carcasses, reciting the contents of the covenant. The smoking lamp and the burning furnace was the symbolic form of God himself passing between the pieces, reciting the contents of the covenant. Basically said that God gave the promised land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their seed forever by blood covenant. And when the dust settles in the Middle East, Israel will own all of the land that God promised. Iran cannot stop that. The United Nations cannot stop that. Russia cannot stop that. Israel belongs to the Jewish people completely and forever. So what does the blood covenant have to do with marriage? When a man marries a virgin, the rupturing of the hymen is the shedding of blood. It's the seal of the covenant and it's binding for life. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. The sexual union seals the covenant. Marriage is a lot like making mashed potatoes. Bring that out here. I know a lot of people have never seen potatoes like this, but this is what they look like before you get the Whopper Burger. Meet Mr. and Ms. Potato. They're individuals, they're sovereign, they have their own opinions. They think everything is hunky-dory in their own universe. And then they agree to get married. And shortly after their marriage, he says, All you want to do is play golf three times a week and ignore me. And my mother told me this is exactly how you were going to be. And if that's how you're going to be, I want you to pack up and move out, because I'll never be able to stand you. He comes back. All you know how to fix for supper, or what you can stuff in the oven. And by the time I eat it, it's not good enough to feed the dog. And that's all you can do. Why'd I ever marry you? My mama told me you were no good. That keeps going until you look like this. And then you're thrown into hot water, where you are pulled out and you get mashed. Just thoroughly mashed. And then after about 10 years, you look like this. You can't tell one from the other. You lose your identity. You think alike, you talk alike, you are alike. That's marriage. It's not easy. Can I get an amen? Jesus said, "Whosoever looks on a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery with her already." Now think about that. In the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, you could look at a woman and lust and lust and lust. As long as you didn't have sex with her, you were all right. Now comes Jesus of Nazareth, who is putting the constitution and bylaws of the church in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and he makes this statement: if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery already. Do you read pornographic magazines? Do you watch porno on the internet? Jesus said you're committing adultery. Under the law of Moses, you could look and lust, but Jesus said, that's out. Jesus raised the bar in Matthew 5. If you want to, if it's in your heart, you've done it. And on that basis, most of the churches in America need to recognize they are not pure because God says so, not because John Hagee says so, but because the Word of God says so, and you will answer for that when you stand in front of God. Get pornography out of your life. Get those magazines you have hidden under the bed out of your life. Why is adultery forbidden? I repeat, because it destroys the family. Why is America coming apart at the seams? Because the traditional family is falling apart and has been for 50 years. Why are gangs in the street ruling our cities? Because the children of America suffer from the phantom father, the father who abandoned them, the father who was never there, the father who released them to the thugs in the street. And now they're the ones that are burning down the cities. They're the ones that are shooting the cops. They're the ones that are looking for guidance. They found it. They found it in the dope culture. Feminists attack marriage and childbearing as slavery and bondage. The government subsidizes fornication. Have an illegitimate child and the government will give you a monthly check. The tax laws punish those who marry and reward those who shack up. By the way, if you're living with someone that you're not married to, one of you move out and move out today. You're living in adultery. Why is adultery forbidden? Because it destroys self-esteem. It destroys fellowship with God. And when you're cut off from God, life is not worth living. The true story from a Washington newspaper, it tells of a young, morally emancipated couple who defied the seventh commandment. They were found locked in each other's arms in a gas-filled apartment. On the table was a letter that had been written by the woman. Quote, the letter said, "We have been accustomed to laugh, Fred and I, at the moral code as a set of man-made rules to frighten timid people into being good. But we now have learned through our own experience the wages of sin is death. Yes, many times worse than death. It's actually hell on earth. End of quote. They pried their dead bodies apart and buried them after they committed suicide. Adultery is forbidden because it produces a child that will never know its father, who will live life with a hole in its heart, an emotional cripple that will live all the days of its life. America's streets are asphalt jungles. They're filled with millions of children who do not know their father. And that's why the rage in burning down the cities and robbing the stores and shooting policemen. If there was ever a day for these major cities, woke cities, to reconsider their sanity, is rehire every policeman and give them a raise. Hello, singles, listen up. Adultery is forbidden because it drastically reduces your chance of marriage. Sweetheart, the more you give yourself sexually to that clown you're living with, the less your chance to capture Prince Charming. He will dump you and go on to new conquest. The unknown is fascinating. Throw that away and you're out of the game. You're just garbage. Young lady, if some hormone hurricane has the urge to merge with you and tries to get you to sacrifice your virginity to prove your love, slap his face until his ears ring like chapel bells and call your daddy. In Genesis 12, God gave Abraham a promise that shaped the history of the world. He promised to give him a land flowing with milk and honey. He promised to make his name great. And to this day, Abraham's name is known all over the earth. Why? Because God never breaks a promise.
Please send your best gift possible today. When you do, you'll receive our newest devotional, Promise, Problem, Provision. With your donation of $175 or more, we will include our Behold, I Make All Things New scripture art piece, our Daily Truth devotional, and the Hagee Ministries Prayer Journal.
Regardless of the trial you're facing, God will see you through to the other side if you'll simply trust and obey.
Send your gift today. Call the number on your screen or visit jhm.org/provide.
Adultery is forbidden because sexually transmitted diseases will kill you. The wages of sin is death. It's not an illusion. It's a reality. God didn't command us to stay sexually pure because he didn't know how much fun it is. He knows. He also knew sexual impurity could kill you. That's love. It's not legalism. Statistics reveal that 60% of high school girls by the age of 15 had sexual intercourse, 70% of boys. Remember, when you get into bed with someone, you're going to bed with perhaps several hundred people. Recently, CNN carried a report that 40% of America's high school students admitted to having sex with 4 to 6 partners. That's how sexual diseases are spreading like fire. Immorality, and you can't get a shot for immorality. God's cure is the 7th command. Stay sexually pure. Be moral. Abstain. What's wrong with that? Nothing. The Bible's position on adultery is very clear. Moses didn't write it down, and then the rest of the Bible forget it. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 6, "Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That means you're not going to heaven. Now, here are the people he considers unrighteous. Paul. The Holy Spirit is saying this through Paul. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God." According to St. Paul and the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, if you are sexually impure, you're not going to heaven. John wrote in Revelation 21:8, there are eight groups of people that will spend eternity in outer darkness. I'm going to read them. I'm asking you, are you on this list? But the fearful, who are the fearful? The fearful are people who were afraid to confess that Jesus Christ was Lord. If someone ever asks you, is Jesus the Lord of your life? You look them into the eye and say, absolutely. How about you? Be bold, be strong, stand up. You believe in something, speak it out. Certainly the ungodly are not afraid to tell you what they believe. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. This is the second death. That's very clear. The Old Testament reactions to adultery. Let's compare the actions of Joseph in Egypt and King David. Both were mighty men of God. Joseph was a slave in Egypt. He was seduced by Potiphar's desperate housewife. Come lie with me, she says. Now, here are reasons why Joseph could have easily said yes. One, he was a slave. There was no moral code for slaves. Two, he was out of town. No one knew him. He was strong every time. What did it cost him? It cost him 12 years in the penitentiary. You say, society would have looked at him and said, you are a stupid boy. But God looked down and said, that's my champion. I'm going to promote him from that penitentiary to being the second in command in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. He went from the pit to the palace, from the prison to the penthouse. In one day, he became the second most powerful man in all of the earth because he was loyal to God's moral code. What about King David? King David was driven to murder, and the sword of sorrow never departed from his house. His daughter was raped. His son Absalom was a rebel who was slaughtered hanging by his hair by one of David's generals. David was forbidden to build the temple because God said, you are a bloody man. Why? Because he killed the husband of Bathsheba because he had impregnated her. God did not allow him to build the temple, which is what he considered his top priority in life. His top priority in life was lost because he violated the law of God. God didn't stop loving him. But God did not allow him to accomplish his destiny. How can we keep clean? Face the fact that the seventh commandment is given to save your life, your marriage, your emotional and mental health, and your soul. Keep it. This is straight from my mother's lips. She raised four sons. She said, don't date anyone you wouldn't marry. Because you will marry someone you date. Well, that's a tough standard for a teenager even then. Getting a date with my mother in the house, you could join the FBI quicker than that. Bible, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. If you hadn't dated her to start with, if you hadn't dated him to start with, you wouldn't want to marry that person now. Here's what you do, young person. Tell him or her, change now or get lost. Stop drinking now or get lost. Get a job now or get lost. Go to church now or get lost. Find Jesus now or get lost. Bye. Remember that you belong to God and you are far more precious to him than you know. I think one of the great things that we're going to discover in heaven is how much God loved us and how much he wanted to do for us if we would just have obeyed the things he asked us to do. The Bible says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is living in you, allegedly, if you're submitted to God. The true story. One day in South Africa, a man stopped to watch young boys playing marbles. He noticed that the marbles flashed and sparkled in the sunlight. His curiosity was aroused. Upon investigation, he discovered to his amazement that the boys playing marbles were playing marbles with diamonds. Those diamonds were worth millions of dollars. They had no idea their real value. The point is, I believe we have no idea how precious you, and you are to God. You are God's child. He sent His Son to this earth to die for you, that you can have eternal life. You are God's treasure. He wants to show you His love. He wants to show you His miracle-working power. The miracle power of Jesus Christ should be manifested in the church because God desires for you to have His very best. We are the bride of Christ. The ministry of Jesus Christ was a ministry of miracles. The Bible is a book of miracles. Christians should live their lives expecting a miracle. The Bible says nothing is impossible to those that believe. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He will do it. Say that with me. He will do it. John 2:23. Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, many believed in His name. Why? Because of the miracles which He did. Not what He spoke, not what He taught, but because of the supernatural power of God that was demonstrated in His life. Why not have a miracle moment at Cornerstone Church on Sunday morning at the close of the service like we're going to do right now, where every person in the building who wants a miracle should be given the opportunity to pray for that miracle. There's an awesome supernatural power in this sanctuary. Now think in these terms. The Bible says when just two or three of you get together, you have the power to say to a mountain, be moved and cast into the sea. That, my friend, is power. There are several thousand people here. There's enough supernatural energy in this room to conquer every cancer, to bring every prayer that you've been praying to reality, for the walls of Jericho to fall down in your defense, that God will give you the desires of your heart, but you have not because you ask not. The Bible says right now in this service that God has the ability to meet your every need. Ask and you shall receive. Say that with me. Ask and you shall receive. So I'm saying to you right now, if you need a miracle in your body, a miracle in your marriage, your emotions, fear, anger, resentment, you need a miracle in your family because there's a lack of unity. There's division and there's bitterness. Or you're a businessman and you need God's direction in the business opportunity. America as a nation needs a spiritual and moral revival, and that's going to require a miracle. If you need a miracle and you believe that Jesus will give it to you, I believe He loves you enough to give it to you today. I want you to stand. I want to pray that God will give you that miracle. For the next couple of minutes, I want you to raise your voice and lift your hands and you ask God for the miracle that you need. Heavenly Father, thousands of people at Cornerstone Church right now are talking to you about the miracle that they need in their lives. Right now in this service, marriages are being saved. Families are being reunited. Fear, anger, and resentment are being conquered. The miracle of unity is coming to families. Businessmen who need God's direction in a business opportunity are experiencing that right now. The miracle of a spiritual awakening in America can be a reality because where two or three of you have gathered together, I will be there. Therefore, the Lord of hosts is in this sanctuary right now, and every word we speak is being recorded in heaven, and every barrier is being broken, and every form of resistance is collapsing because the kingdom of God will endure. Righteousness will conquer evil. Good will conquer the bad, because the Lord of hosts is in the house. Give Him praise and the glory of God. Thank you for being with us. Do you have a promised land you've been trying to reach?
God has your provision ready. Diligently seek Him and obey Him. Do it with an attitude of praise. Please stay tuned to the end of our program today. Pastor Hagee has a blessing for you and every member of your family. I want you to continue watching that you can receive it.
Hagee Ministries is boldly proclaiming the truth of God's Word without compromise or apology thanks to our legacy partners. As a legacy partner, your monthly gift supports humanitarian projects in Israel, relief efforts, and community service initiatives. You will also become an extension of Sanctuary of Hope, a haven for mothers that choose life for their children. Become a legacy partner today. Call the number on the screen or go to jhm.org/partner.
Cornerstone Church invites you to Feast 2022, October 21st through the 23rd. Your family will enjoy 3 days of free rides, midway games, food, music, and spectacular fireworks with Pastor Matt Hagee. Friday night outdoor praise and worship with Natalie Grant. Saturday night Grammy Award winner Ty Tribbett. Sunday night be our guest for our annual night to honor Israel with Pastor John Hagee. For more information, call the number on your screen or visit jhm.org/feast.
And now, your blessing with Pastor John Hagee.
And now, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, giving you His peace. Peace to know that God has sent His beloved Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to give His life in exchange for our redemption and healing. May you know with all of your heart that you are a child of the Most High God. May you have peace, knowing that God's perfect love has conquered and defeated every form of fear. Peace to know that Jehovah Jireh has provided for your every need according to His riches and glory. Today, let the joy of the Lord be your strength, and let the triumph of the cross be your banner of victory. In Jesus' name, receive this blessing. Amen.